Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
Welcome everyone to Voices are Action, a new podcast series by Real World Radio. In this new podcast series, we will be reviewing news and updates from all regions and continents. We are Real World Radio, the communications project of Friends of the Earth International, by and for social movements, and you can find us on rwr.fm in English and Spanish, also on Twitter, Facebook, and on our newly created account on Instagram. As I said, we communicate for and by social movements with a gender, social, and environmental justice perspective. So let's begin today with an overview of the different news pieces we have for today's episode. First, we will talk about the case of Julia Chunil in Chile. Julia is a Mapuche environmental activist from Chile who has been missing for 6 months. We will listen to a report from the Movement for the Defense of Access to Water, Land, and Environmental Protection in Chile, MODATIMA. Then we will focus on the Global Peasant Movement, which is working towards the third Neleni Global Forum. We will hear from Martin Drago, International Coordinator of the Food Sovereignty Program at Friends of the Earth International, and also peasant leader Anuka De Silva from the Movement for Land and Agrarian Reform in Sri Lanka. We will then go to Croatia because several activists were arrested for demonstrating against the Israeli genocide in Gaza, of course in solidarity with the Palestinian people. And lastly, we'll talk about a new publication by Friends of the Earth International about the interconnection between climate change and biodiversity loss. We will be listening to Nele Marian, International Coordinator of the Forest and Biodiversity Program at Friends of the Earth International.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
Okay, so we begin our show today with news from Chile. We are going to talk about the case of Julia Chunil, a land rights defender who disappeared on November the 8th, together with her dog Cholito. We will hear now from Catalina Huerta from MODATIMA, the Movement for the Defense of Access to Water, Land and Environmental Protection.
During the month of April in Chile, a general appeal was made to find the whereabouts of environmental leader and defender Julia Chunil, a 72-year-old Mapuche woman who disappeared more than 5 months ago in the Los Rios region in southern Chile. Julia Chunil defended the lands of her community, Hutragel, and protected them from increasing deforestation of the native forest. She is the mother of 5 children and grandmother of 10 grandchildren and is one of the most recognized Mapuche women in the struggle in defense of the territory, which today is made up of 17 families. Her defense of her territory earned her threats and harassment. The harassment of Julia had been going on for years because the land where she lived was in dispute with a local forestry businessman, Juan Carlos Morstad Avanter, and the National Indigenous Development Corporation, CONADI. The complaint filed by the family states that Morstad had threatened Julia and even tried to run her over on her way to the property, claiming that he had not seen her. He also threatened her, saying that going to CONADI would not do her any good because he had a lot of influence. Since November, when she was last seen with her dog Cholito, the search has been intense. Forests and hills have been searched, and efforts to locate her continue daily in the Los Rios region. The area where she lives is particularly vulnerable in the Los Rios region due to its high percentage of rural population and large elderly population. There is no access to electricity or mobile phone signal. The terrain is steep with numerous streams, abundant undergrowth, and frequent rain, which has made the search considerably more difficult. On Wednesday, April 24, the group created to search for Julia Chunil released a statement by the leader's granddaughter saying that 2 dead animals had been found. A horse was found dead at the entrance to Julia's property with no signs of injury, leading to suspicions of poisoning. The other animal was a male pig with bullet holes. We are talking about the disappearance of a Mapuche leader, with suspicions of a cover-up by the police and the involvement of businessmen linked to the forestry industry, with the complicity of the official media and the passivity of the government, according to Julia's relatives. Looking at the bigger picture, The state's policy of persecution and repression against the Mapuche people is systematic, with recent initiatives such as the renewal of the state of emergency in the Huelmapu. The cases of judicial persecution against Mapuche leaders and community members, among other actions. For this reason, the silence of a state that has promoted the Esquezu agreement, an agreement that precisely seeks to protect environmental defenders, is contradictory. Esquezu already raised this issue in its 2024 report on the situation of environmental defenders. The report notes that 91.3% of cases of physical violence were linked to the forestry sector. Despite all of the above, the search for Julia continues, with regular demonstrations being organized in different parts of the country.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
So as we were saying, 2025 is a very important year for social movements around the world. This is because the third Global Nielini Forum will be held in Sri Lanka in September, with more than 50 social and grassroots organizations and movements from 80 countries and territories expected to participate. Nielini is one of the most diverse and significant social gatherings in the world, with representatives of small-scale food producers, indigenous peoples, pastoralists, food chain workers and migrant workers in urban and rural areas, feminist and climate justice movements, defenders of social and solidarity economies, consumer groups, and workers from other sectors. It really is a massive, diverse event with a common theme of gathering defenders of food sovereignty, of peoples being able to define what to produce, how to produce it, and also with a focus on agroecology, how to promote agroecology and multiply it in different regions. So let's take a quick look at the history of this forum. The concept of food sovereignty was developed by La Via Campesina and first presented at the World Food Summit in Rome in 1996. The first Global Nielini Forum brought together more than 500 people and was held in Selinge, Mali in February 2007. The forum was named in honor of Nielini, a peasant woman who overcame a patriarchal society, fought against it, and overcame the endless obstacles imposed on her to become one of the best farmers in the world. She domesticated, reproduced, and preserved many of the seeds that feed us today. The first forum produced the initial declaration that launched the international movement for food sovereignty. The second Global Nielini Forum was held in the same place as the first in 2015 and reaffirmed agroecology as a pillar of food sovereignty, not only as a production system free of agrotoxins and GMOs, which respects the cycles of nature, the right to seeds, and the seasonality of fruits, but also as a social and political project, a project of solidarity and connection in defense of healthy, quality food, which includes the right to autonomy in food production, access, marketing, and consumption in sufficient quantities and respecting each culture. And then we get to 2025, when the forum will convene to strengthen global resistance to the multiple crises and to build an agenda for systemic transformation. Friends of the Earth is one of the organizations that has been active in this since its inception, and that is why we are now going to hear from Martín Drago, the International Coordinator of the Food Sovereignty Program at Friends of the Earth International.
Nielini means territory, process, and methodology for building connections between social and grassroots movements and organizations. The methodology is based on the principle of internationalist solidarity, and works through a horizontal dialogue of knowledge based on the heritage and diversity of peoples, cultures, and struggles. It is a process that builds unity while strengthening regional organizational processes, so it is like a continuum accumulated throughout its history. In this 2025, Nielini 3 aims to become a fundamental milestone in the articulation of social and grassroots movements and organizations, from the local to the global level, to transform the system and dismantle all forms of oppression and exploitation. It is a process that aims to transcend the historical accumulation of the movement for food sovereignty and, based on its know-how and its history, to offer a methodology, a process, a territory for the building of connections with other movements and struggles to build this system change agenda that dismantles the different forms of oppression.
And now hear from peasant leader Anuka De Silva from the Land and Agrarian Reform Movement of Sri Lanka, who is part of the National Committee organizing this third Global Nyeleni Forum. Anuka is also part of the international coordination of La Villa Campesina. Anuka shared with us her perspectives about the role and importance of peasant feminism, grassroots feminism, for the building of these agendas for food sovereignty and system change.
Name of the Nyeleni is kind of legend of the Malians' history. Nyeleni feed whole village. She produced the food. That's the special meaning of the Nyeleni. Yes, definitely in the food web, women are the, especially who decide what kind of food we are going to eat, who produce the food, who going to feed the world. Feminism is the basement of the food sovereignty, agroecology, and all peasant rights. Women are the main pillar of the sharing and caring, especially in the Asian ancestral knowledge. We are the seed savers in the community, because as a grandmother, my mother, and myself, we know how we keep our seeds for next season. We know what is the best time to sowing in our soil. Normally, women are doing a lot of work in the field, and also they're preparing seed to plate. That's my main process in the women's articulation. Seed to plate control, need to control from women's, because we don't know what kind of food we are eat. We need to clarification about that. Women is the based on the food sovereignty. That's also, without women, we cannot work. That's why we need to build a feminist role in this forum.
We will now continue with our show, now speaking about how social movements around the world continue to fight for and support the liberation of the Palestinian people. In Croatia, 17 people were arrested on Monday, April the 14th, after protesting non-violently outside the Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs against a cooperation with Israel and the complicity in the genocide. 8 activists were released after about 8 hours, while 9 remained in custody overnight. Among the participating organizations were our colleagues at Zelena Akcija, Friends of the Earth Croatia. This is an expert from the statement they issued after the mobilization. Engaging in an act of civil disobedience, a sit-in at the ministry, was necessary because the Croatian authorities had been ignoring letters, actions and protests from activists and citizens for 18 months. At this moment, political persecution is obvious. We are waiting for court hearings, the police are demanding high fines, and they also requested an extension of our detention, which our lawyers managed to prevent. This time, the state is doing everything to discourage direct action, especially for Palestine. But no one can silence or intimidate us. We continue to demand that the Croatian government severs all ties with Israel, from economic and military to energy and educational. The genocide in Palestine must be stopped urgently, they say. And they continue, with all this, we must not forget that the Israeli army continues to kill people in Palestine every day. In addition, since March the 2nd, Israel has been blocking the entry of humanitarian aid, food and water into Gaza. Starving Palestinians is just another in a series of war crimes. We must fight both against the criminalization of activism and against the state's complicity in genocide. The Croatian Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs has proven to be a consistent and reliable partner to the Israeli authorities during the years of occupation, apartheid and genocide. In early March, while the Israeli army was bombing Gaza, a delegation of the ministry led by Minister Glick Radman met in Israel with the Minister of Foreign Affairs there, Gideon Saar, to discuss the potential for strengthening cooperation between Croatia and Israel, especially in the areas of tourism and energy. Instead of doing everything in its power on the international level to stop the further killing of Palestinians, the Croatian government is choosing the path of cooperation with Israel, enabling the continuation of Israeli crimes. More than 50,000 lives lost are not enough for Croatia to sever ties with Israel. And the statement concludes, We are not asking for the impossible. We are asking for what is necessary and only right for the possibility of a future and coexistence in Palestine.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
And reaching almost the end of our first edition of Voices are Action, we would like to share with you that Friends of the Earth International has published a new report called Climate and Biodiversity in Freefall, which shows the interconnection between climate change and biodiversity loss. Now we will hear from Nele Marian, Forest and Biodiversity Coordinator at Friends of the Earth International, who explains this interrelationship with concrete examples.
Climate change and biodiversity are intrinsically linked. When the climate heats, this really affects biodiversity in many ways. For example, all the different species have to escape their normal territories and go moving north or up the mountain or in the southern hemisphere, move south, so that they get to colder climates. But that, of course, means that different species will be able to move at different rates, and there gets a disconnection between the different species. Therefore, ecosystems which work together in so many ways, their equilibrium get lost, and this can lead to a severe fall down of ecosystems. Other impacts of the climate on biodiversity are, for example, the acidification of oceans. And all the life stems from the oceans, but so many species in them can't live when the water is too acidic. So we risk losing a lot of maybe invisible life, but very important life for the world. The other thing which affects is the very much higher rate of forest fires. And of course, exaggerated forest fires really destroy a lot of biodiversity at once. But also the loss of biodiversity affects the climate. Why? Because in all the biodiversity, in each tree, in each plant, in each animal, there's a lot of carbon stored. And as we go losing the biodiversity, we go losing the carbon in there, and it also ends up in the atmosphere. So this means that the loss of biodiversity also has a very negative impact on the climate. This risks getting us to tipping points both for climate and for biodiversity. So what we see is that biodiversity and climate really are intrinsically linked, and that one can keep on worsening the other, risking getting into a spiral of increasing crisis.
The report includes data that is very illustrative of the biodiversity crisis we are experiencing. For example, it states that between 1970 and 2018, wildlife populations have declined by 69% worldwide, and 30% of mammals are at risk of extinction today. Most interestingly, the report examines how various inadequate climate policies are in fact false solutions in that they affect the protection of biodiversity. False solutions such as carbon offsets and net zero, nature-based solutions and geoengineering, among others. The report also outlines the real solutions and possible changes to halt this interrelated crisis. You can find the full report and download it for free at foai.org.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
And before we go, we would like to remind you that tomorrow, May the 20th, we will have the March of Silence in Uruguay, which is one of the most powerful marches in Latin America, where a massive crowd of people march in silence along the main avenue of the capital city, carrying posters with the faces of people who were detained and disappeared during the last civil military dictatorship in Uruguay, demanding memory, truth, and justice. So this was today's episode. Thank you for listening, and just to remind you, you can find out more about this and many other issues on our website rwr.fm and our social media channels. Thank you, and until next time.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.